Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my delight to have you join us today on this another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood, and let me remind you today, before we get into our monologue and then dialogue and discussion, jot the telephone number down, 904-401-1413. 401-1413 gets you straight through to our studios and right to the microphone so that we can have any discussion and dialogue on the issues that we'll be discussing today. But before we get into the monologue and the issue that we'll be discussing, let me remind you of Conservative Theological University's special offer for the spring semester of 2019. Conservative Theological University had been around since about 1982, had the privilege of training thousands and thousands of men and women that's serving now in different positions of leadership around the globe in serving the Lordship of Jesus Christ in and through ministry. Some serving in missions, some in evangelism, some pastoral ministries, others in Christian education, Christian counseling. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a very, very special offer for this semester. 100% ministry work scholarships available. They're very, very limited, but 100% ministry work scholarship. Perhaps you have gifts, talents, and abilities in serving the Lord in some field of ministry work. Maybe that it's clerical work. It could be that it is something to do with technology. It could be that you have gifts, talents, and abilities and things like playing the piano, or music, or leadership in music. Whatever the ministry gift and talent that God has given you, why not use that in working here on campus in Jacksonville, Florida? It could be full-time or part-time, bivocational, depending on your other work that is required for your income, in order to exchange that for college university tuition. Our programs are theologically sound and doctrinally conservative, realistically practical and financially affordable, and we want to introduce our programs to you in the listening audience that perhaps you have a desire and a goal of studying and training a little more efficiently and proficiently in relationship to preaching, teaching, Christian education, Christian counseling, whatever the area of ministry that God has called you to. Our invitation is to lock arms with you and allow us to walk with you in getting the training that is needful and necessary for you to be proficient in rightly dividing the word of truth and impacting lives for eternity. So let me remind you of that 100% ministry work scholarship, and there's some partial scholarships available based on academic status and academic standing, or perhaps you are a veteran and there are special accommodations in the academic program here at Conservative Theological University for those that have separation from U.S. military, that it's honorable separation, and you would love to be able to serve the Lord in some ministry capacity. Let me invite you to call 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Leave your contact information in that with that call. Allow someone in the admissions work to call you back and to schedule a time for you to come in and interview. We're already into the spring semester of 2019. We have up to 3 weeks for you to enter into this semester without any reduction on grade or any penalty whatsoever. So let me encourage you to call 1-800-GO-BIBLE, leave your contact information that we can discuss with you the potentiality of getting you enrolled. And by the way, you can enroll on campus in the classroom. You can enroll to study with some of it in the classroom on campus, and other by way of internet e-courses, that is online study, and others by which is called distant education, which is personally formed for your particular need. And get enrolled in your studies. Don't procrastinate and put off this year with what God has called you to do. That's Conservative Theological University, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Looking forward to hearing from you and having the opportunity and the blessing that will be ours to be able to minister to you and allow you to be trained in the area that God has called you in to impact lives for eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, we face issues based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said very dogmatically, as I call it, very clearly and directly in John 17:17, where Jesus said, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not based on some ideological philosophy or dogma of some denomination where there are rites and rituals and rules and regulations that make the decision. It's what does the Word of God say? Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with an issue today that's, I think, one of the most high-profile issues that we could talk about in relationship to what Christians and conservatives ought to be concerned with in American position in politics today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a national crisis, a national emergency. Ladies and gentlemen, our president has announced that America is faced with a national emergency, a national crisis. In fact, he'll be speaking to the nation directly from the Oval Office this evening by way of national television. And it is a very, very serious thing that we're dealing with. Here's an article that says the White House paints crisis at border, considers declaring a national emergency. U.S. President Donald J. Trump. Trump's administration is pushing hard to portray the southern border with Mexico as an imminent humanitarian and national security crisis. In order to win support for the border wall funding in the fight with the lawmakers that has brought the country to an 18-day partial government shutdown. Ladies and gentlemen, if I can just enter into that at this point, I think the nation, you and I, we as citizens, are perhaps safer when the government shut down. Now, that's just me. You may disagree with that. In fact, we're safer when the House and the Senate is on Christmas break or when they're on break at all, because otherwise we're in danger as citizens with some of the rules and the regulations, the laws that they pass. But nevertheless, this article further says, Trump is set to make the case to the nation in a televised address Tuesday night. He'll be laying out the facts for the American people of what is genuine humanitarian and security crisis at our southern border. Vice President Mike Pence told CBS in an interview ahead of Trump's speech, Pence said nearly 60,000 migrants, mostly families and unaccompanied children from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, have tried to illegally enter the United States from Mexico just in recent months. The influx, Pence said, is simply overwhelming the ability of our Customs and Border Patrol to deal with it. The vice president reiterated that Trump is considering bypassing Congress to build the wall without approval from lawmakers, declaring a national emergency and using funds allocated for military construction. This article further says, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer issued a statement late Monday calling for television networks to give Democrats a chance to respond to Trump's speech, saying that his history suggests the address would be full of malice and misinformation. Well, that's just Nancy Pelosi's opinion. The article basically concludes, says, migrants run as tear gas is thrown by U.S. Border Protection officers to the Mexican side of the border fence after they climbed the fence to get a San Diego, California, from Tijuana, Mexico, during the month of January and following, just in this month now, just in this new year alone. We have, ladies and gentlemen, literally our borders are being overwhelmed. Our security guard and security agencies are being overwhelmed with what can be done. Perhaps the question is asked, does President Trump have the authority as president to declare a national emergency and build a wall out of Pentagon funds, that's military funding? And the answer is absolutely unequivocally yes. The primary prerequisite authority for the President of the United States is to protect American sovereignty from any intruder from the outside or any detractor from the inside that will destroy our nation. Here's an article that says the Democratic House Armed Services Chairman says Trump has the authority to use the military to build a wall. Dated January the 6th, 2019, Sunday on ABC News. This week, the title of the program, House Armed Services Committee Chairman Adam Smith, Democrat of Washington, said President Donald Trump does have the authority to declare a national emergency and have the military build a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border. Here is the state. George Stephanopoulos was doing the interview. He asked the question, does President Trump have the authority to declare a national emergency and have the military to build a wall? Smith said, well, unfortunately, the short answer is yes. And ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer that in his national address this evening by national television, it is my prayer that President Trump will announce that that's exactly what he's going to do. But ladies and gentlemen, what are the ingredients that constitute a national crisis at the border? And ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about this because as Christians, we need to be vitally concerned, because if we see this deteriorate any further as it is today, if we continue to see the socialist Democrats and the liberals on the left, if we continue to see them destroy the authority and the power that's constitutionally afforded to our president, then we're watching the demise and the shredding of the Constitution. And if our Constitution is shredded, ladies and gentlemen, our Bill of Rights, our First Amendment right, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, our Second Amendment right, that is the right to keep and bear arms, those two amendments that are the most important in the life and the work of our nation's citizens will be absolutely shredded, and we'll have no hope in relationship to what we know today as freedom of religion and our churches to continue to operate as we are today. Let's just examine, ladies and gentlemen, some of the issues that are causing the national emergency. Just what are they? Perhaps you've not watched the drive-by media. Perhaps you've not been listening to the fake news. Perhaps you don't have any idea who's right and who's wrong when they give the commentary on the television news media. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching the Clinton Network News, better known as CNN, or if you're watching the Communist Network News, better known as CNN, if you're watching those two media, you're watching that outlet, then you simply do not know what's happening in the nation. In fact, it is my approach to watch bits and pieces of all of the commentators and make the decision based on the authority of the work of the Holy Spirit of God, what's real, what's relevant, and what we should do, what we should believe. But let's examine some of the issues that's taking place right now in America that's causing this national emergency, this national crisis. We have invaders. That's what they are, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just the caravans. It's not just the people that are poor and underprivileged coming from Guatemala and El Salvador and other points south that's trying to overpower our borders and come in because they need work, because they need money, because they need food, clothing, and shelter. It's not that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the invaders crushing the southern border, waving their national flag. Ladies and gentlemen, any other time that you would see a group of people by the thousands waving their national flag, throwing rocks and screaming and having epitaphs that screamed out at our president, demanding to come in, digging holes and going under the wall, climbing over the wall, and then coming in and throwing rocks at our border guards and the security agencies, and thinking that somehow, some way, they can force themselves into America. And once they force themselves across the border, the mindset is, you've got to accept us. And Nancy Pelosi and the bleeding heart liberals think that that is absolutely correct. But ladies and gentlemen, that is not acceptable with any nation on the face of God's green earth. Every nation has their own borders, and they have their borders, and their borders are generally secured. If you try to do that on a reverse side, if you try to have citizens out of America storm the borders, climb the walls, go over into Mexico, first thing they do is lock you up. Second thing they do is they try you, and then they ship you back, or they put you in jail for years and years and years. But ladies and gentlemen, the first thing that's causing this national crisis, this national emergency, is that of the invaders crushing our southern border. Secondly, our border patrol are being absolutely pounded with rocks and with all other lethal weapons that's harming them and is ultimately one day going to kill some of our border agents if we do not do something. Thousands of illegals are forcing their way into America using women and children as their human shields. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, huge numbers of illegal aliens are committing crimes of murder and rape and manslaughter via drunk driving in our nation today. And yet we have those that will continue to scream on some of the network news, some of the fake news, saying, well, you know, these illegals, when they come in, we need to cudgel them. And after all, we have the Statue of Liberty that talks about receiving those that are weak and underprivileged, et cetera, et cetera. And we need to show humanitarian love for them. Now, I'm not detracting from that one iota. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a way to come in, and that's through the gates, through the walls. We'll talk about that earlier. It's through the passage ports of entry where you come in and you pass muster to get in. Either you are going to come in legally, you're going to come in illegally, and those that are waiting in line, ladies and gentlemen, to get green cards approved or to get visas approved to come into America, they're waiting in line by the tens of thousands. In fact, the last count I had, they said there's approximately 2.5 million people waiting legally in line, as it's called, to be approved to come into America. But we have huge numbers of these illegals coming in, committing all kinds of crimes of murder and rape and robbery and mayhem and manslaughter via all manner of ill that is harming American citizens. Millions of ounces of hard drugs are entering into our nation through the open, porous borders today. Terrorists are entering our borders daily, along with the hordes of others that are coming in. Ladies and gentlemen, the socialist Democrats are refusing to provide the funds to build the southern border wall because they're simply adamantly opposed to our president. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had several high-profile murders committed by illegals. And most of the time, ladies and gentlemen, the Kate Steinle case out in San Diego or in San Francisco, they're simply the fake media is simply not talking about it. Nancy Pelosi won't talk about it. Chuck Schumer won't say anything about it. And now the latest one, ladies and gentlemen, there's been several. But the latest one, here's an article, says the death of the fire captain's son brings illegal immigration debate home. The article says the death of a Knoxville, Tennessee fire captain's son brought the debate over illegal immigration to a very local level. The article goes on to talk about the one that's been caught. He's in custody. He's here illegally. And he crashed his car in a multi-vehicle crash, killing the son of the fire captain in Knoxville, Tennessee. Ladies and gentlemen, the article says a fire department secretary posted on Facebook, quote, "They never die, only kill others," end quote. He, quote, "He would still be with us," speaking of the captain's fire captain's son, "he would still be with us if the illegal was still in his own country. That wall can't be built soon enough," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. You can dial in, you can dial the number 401-1413. Join in the dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you've got a differing opinion. I'd like to hear from you if you think the wall ought not to be built, if you think the president doesn't have that authority, if you think somehow, some way that Nancy Pelosi and her ilk are correct and the president's wrong. I'd like to hear from you. Ladies and gentlemen, there seems to be no concern on the part of the socialists, the liberals, the left-wingers in relationship to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the House and the Senate in general, in talking about building a wall. Somehow there's a mindset that they can do it just like they did back in the days of President Reagan. Perhaps you remember Reagan. Excuse me. Perhaps you recall that Reagan's administration allowed 4 million illegals to get amnesty. And he did that on the basis that the Democrats promised that if you'll just give amnesty to 4 million, then we will build the wall. Well, President Reagan signed the order and gave the amnesty to 4 million. He never got his wall. And that's exactly what they're trying to trick President Trump into doing today. We're spending billions of dollars to fight the opioid crisis in America, yet have an open gate, if you will, Yet we are allowing pot, which is the gateway to all other drugs, to pour into America through the southern borders. And somehow, some way, we think that's all right. The question must be asked and demands to be answered. What is the objection to the wall? What is the objection to the southern wall being built on that border? Why not build a wall? Nancy Pelosi and most of the Washington establishment, those very ones that are saying we don't need a wall, live in gated communities with security at the gates. Ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Pelosi and her socialist Democratic followers scream that the wall on the southern border is immoral. I talked about this a little in the broadcast just yesterday. So Nancy Pelosi is now concerned about morality. And when you talk about something being immoral, you're literally talking about something that's a biblical theme. You're talking about a theological doctrinal issue. And so all of a sudden, Nancy Pelosi is concerned about religious issues, conservative theological biblical issues, when she says the wall is immoral. Yet the socialist Democrats approve murder by way of abortion, and they're funding it nationally, and just passed some legislation just in the past few days that allows funding of the murder by way of abortion on an international level, spending taxpayers' dollars to murder babies in the mother's womb. And yet she calls the wall immoral. The socialist lifestyle also approved funding legal status for the LGBTQ. That socialist liberal mindset says the LGBTQ community, that is the sodomite lifestyle, is okay. And yet they talk about the wall being immoral. Nancy Pelosi and her socialist agenda are pushing the national approval of marijuana. And yet building a wall to secure our sovereignty on the southern border is somehow, some way, immoral. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, marijuana is the gateway to every other drug. Don't you dare let anybody tell you otherwise. Majority of studies have been done, and the overwhelming majority of those studies are done at the behest of and the payment of and by the researchers that are for marijuana and for the legalization of it on a national level. Only one major report that was done about a year ago gives the truth of the facts that, in fact, marijuana is the gateway drug to all other hard drugs that's destroying our nation. We're concerned about that. We're spending hundreds of billions of dollars to try to control it, and yet we're not wanting to control the border. Ladies and gentlemen, former President Barack Obama lives in a Washington, D.C. walled villa that's being paid for by taxpayers. We're spending $22,000 a month just for the rent and the upkeep of the facilities there that he's living in Washington, D.C. And by the way, it has a wall about 10 foot tall around it. The wall was put there at the taxpayer's expense when the villa was rented by former President Barack Obama. And he also has armed security that's paid for by taxpayers. And to tell me that somehow, some way, putting a border, a wall on the southern border is immoral? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible speaks of having walls some 245 times. Did you know that? It's a fascinating study. Just look up the word wall or walls in your biblical concordance or in a thesaurus and determine if the Bible speaks of having walls some 245 times. And ladies and gentlemen, even the Pope says that building the wall is not Christian. Here's an article that says, written by Ben Shapiro, as I read a part of this yesterday. Let's just start with the behavior of the Vatican. He says, as I pointed out yesterday, immigration policy of the Vatican is highly restrictive. So is security. Historically, the Vatican has been anti-wall, but yet it has a giant wall surrounding the Vatican City, originally erected in 852 CE, in order to prevent others attacking, like the Muslim pirates who damaged St. Peter's Cathedral in 846. Those walls were expanded under Pope Paul III, and he goes on to talk about each of the popes that expanded the walls. These expansions were directed toward preventing any Muslim attack on the Holy See. Ladies and gentlemen, then there is what is found in the Bible in relationship to walls. And ladies and gentlemen, Ben Shapiro says in 2 Chronicles 14, we learn of the good king Asa, who did that which was good in the right sight of the Lord, and he built the fortified cities of Judah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And after he built the fortified walls around Judah, the scripture says, and there was peace. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no better security than having a wall around the southern border. Here's an article that says, would God build a border wall? The topic of whether it is right or wrong to build a border wall is at the forefront of the conversation today. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what's bringing about this national crisis, this national emergency. In fact, by the way, it is said that the wall surrounding Babylon was 387 feet high, 87 foot thick. And when it goes back to the very Hebrew word talking about wall is most used for wall, in the Old Testament, the Strong's Concordance defines it as a wall of protection. This was the primary use, ladies and gentlemen, in the Bible for the protection of those who lived outside of the cities. It protected them from the animals. It protected them from the roving bands of marauders that would come in and sack the city. It protected them from the enemies on the outside. And ladies and gentlemen, nothing has changed since the biblical days, even in the Old Testament and the New Testament, from that which is today. A wall is designed to protect. A wall is designed to keep those out that are not to be in, and is to protect those that are inside from the overwhelming possibility of harm or danger from those on the outside. In fact, this article says it sounds very similar to why President Trump and many others want to build a wall between the U.S.-Mexico border U.S. and Mexico border. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, according to the scripture in Nehemiah chapter 1, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, because, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we find in the scripture is that Nehemiah was called of God to build a wall. In fact, in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, the God of heaven will prosper us, therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. And then you find, ladies and gentlemen, in the third chapter and following in the book of Nehemiah, where the wall was built. And then it gets to chapter 6 and verse 15 and 16 in particular, and it says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 50 and 2 days. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, it took the people led by Nehemiah to build a wall around Jerusalem to protect Jerusalem. It took them 52 days. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in relationship to that, that they had a mind to work and a heart to hear and heed and be obedient to what God had told them to do. Ladies and gentlemen, in fact, there was 49,942 people that joined in the building of the wall around Jerusalem led by Nehemiah. And ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the text and you realize that when they started building the wall, there was the influence, outside influence of the naysayers. I'd call it the fake news and the Nancy Pelosi and the others that were just as real then as they are today. And it was two people in particular that was very upset. It was Sanballat and Tobiah. And the scripture says they were the Arabians that were Ammonites and Ashdodites, and they heard that the wall of Jerusalem was being made up and the breaches were being stopped. Then they were very wroth. That is, they were bent out of shape. They were angry. And as a result of that being angry, ladies and gentlemen, they brought about derision, and they brought about criticism, and major obstacles thrown in the pathway of those trying to build a wall. They were trying to prevent the hand of God at work in the protection of the city of Jerusalem. They were trying to prevent that wall from being built. But the wall was finished. And as the wall was finished, the enemies of God, the enemies of the nation of Israel and Jerusalem in particular, rose up and they were angry about it. But ladies and gentlemen, when you study the 11th chapter of the book of Nehemiah, there's a fascinating study. Time won't allow any close to getting into the text. But let me simply say, in the 11th chapter of the book of Nehemiah, when the walls were built and they had had a revival meeting, they had gone through the, if you please, the record of all of those that had a right to be in the city and within the walls. They needed proof of citizenship to enter into the walls around Jerusalem. They needed, if you will, visas and green cards and special recognition that they belonged in the city or they were not allowed to get into the walls. Ladies and gentlemen, that's very much like we find in the 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation when it talks about the new heaven and the new earth, when it talks about that place called heaven. It is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 17, that there are walls around heaven. Did you know that? Heaven has a wall. In fact, the scripture says, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Ladies and gentlemen, when the wall was measured in Revelation chapter 21, and you discover there in the text that the wall around heaven is 216 feet high. It's not only got a wall, but according to Matthew chapter 7, the gate that enters into is very restrictive and very narrow, and it says, and few there be that go therein. Ladies and gentlemen, to get into heaven, it takes a special visa. It takes a special authority. It takes special papers, if you will. We need to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. That's what it boils down to. But in heaven, not only is there a wall, but there are gates, and the gates are closed to prevent the enemy from coming in, if you will. The scripture says in Revelation 21, verse 25, the gates of it shall be shut at all by night for there shall be no night there. Verse 27, and there shall be in no wise enter into it that which defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. And they within are written in the, but they within are written in the Lamb's book of life. Ladies and gentlemen, heaven has a gate and heaven has walls, and it takes a special visa, a special recognition to be able to get in. The scripture says very few get in. So don't you dare tell me that a wall is immoral. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that the president will be successful. Pray for him as he gives his speech tonight, that God will give him wisdom and that there will be victory in securing our southern border. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.